Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
God bless you. Thank you. Oh, come on. So, taking communion, true story, I got a letter this week from a dear friend of ours who brought a friend of hers to a meeting Pastor Mash was doing up in the Maryland, Washington, D.C. area, and the woman received a major, major miracle in her life. And so I, you know, sent our friend some roses last week and said, you know, thank you for continuing to be a link for folks, for the gospel and for miracles in their life. And she wrote me a lovely letter. And the letter she wrote back, true story, in here, she says, friends of hers, in fact, relatives who are Catholic, and she said the priest shared two elementary school children decided to take communion. And after tasting the wine, one child said, ew, Jesus' blood tastes awful. Whereby the other child replied, well, he did die a long time ago. True story. Any of you who have been around us for the last number of years know that my husband, Pastor Mahesh, mostly tells the truth. And he has a propensity to refer to when we first got together and this massive, huge, humongous Bible that I was carrying everywhere all the time. And in his version of the one and only date that we went on, wherein my pastor at the time took me to see The Omen at a very shady, seedy movie theater on the outskirts of Lubbock, Texas, where the only thing they showed were all the martial arts movies with the subtitles. And our one and only date, before we got married, you talk about either it was an omen or we, especially me, are a person of faith. And when I asked him what the movie was about, he said it was about the Bible. So I fell right in. And lights went down, screen came up, boom, 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 boom. And right across in white letters, across a black screen. And the name of his number shall be 666. And my pastor, to be fiance and husband in a very short period of time, turned to me and said, see, I told you it was about the Bible. Every time he tells that story, he tells this part is true. About 10 minutes into the movie, I excused myself, went out. I did go into the ladies' washroom. And yes, it is true that I did spend the next half hour or so in my Bible praying that the Antichrist would not be able to get me. I was 20 years old. But the way he tells it, you imagine this. This is the Bible he's speaking of. And no, I did not have this Bible with me when we went on that date. Unlike the man who took on our honeymoon the entire volume of all of the Lord of the Rings and read it. So, payback. Praise the Lord. So, this is our wonderful anniversary of our nation. And if Paul were tweeting, the Apostle Paul were tweeting, I don't know how well he would manage it because he was quite wordy. But I think that in this present atmosphere and hour for us who are Christians in the West, and thank God the West wind is blowing. That was something, wasn't it? These beautiful things that the Lord is giving us, those tokens that he is with us and inviting us to step into the dynamic interface of the clash of kingdoms, knowing that on the mountain of Hermon a couple of thousand years ago, Jesus took his posse, his close crew, and went up into Hermon. And this was right in the events of having said to Peter, okay, Peter, everybody's talking. There's all kinds of stuff being said, lots of stuff going around. And in that, everybody's saying about me, I'm this guy, I'm that guy, I'm whatever. This is everything that's on social media. But Peter, what do you say? And that's where Peter said, I know, you're him. You're the one we've been waiting for. You are the anointed one who was to come. And Jesus replied, the Father is the one who has revealed it. We pray that in this west wind, the revelation of the Father will come to our nation. And today, God bless our friends across the world. Pray for us on this anniversary. Today, we are praying and focusing on America. And the reality that God has preordained before he created the world, that you and I be living in this hour, in this nation, for such a time as this. And we heard some of the commission, face first, from the Chaplinsky family today. So, God bless America. But if Apostle Paul was tweeting, I think that he would say to us again what he said to Timothy in his letters to Timothy, when it was a time where there was a lot of this going on in the culture, in the city, in the church. A lot of talking, empty words, quarreling, divisions, competing political and spiritual ideas. And Paul was giving an exhortation, giving instructions to the church to avoid getting entangled in that chaos, in the divisive spirit, that in fact, getting entangled in it as combatants in the war of words in the natural, that it actually hinders salvation. You know, we heard in Bill's stories, because he had three, told us of three encounters. What he didn't tell you about the last one in the gas station is that when he went to pay for his gas, the fella that he had just prayed for said, I'm sorry, I don't take debit cards. And another individual that was present in that space said, here, I'll pay. The guy you prayed for, the owner paid. He pulled the money out of his pocket and he paid. So, when Jesus stood at Peter's confession, they were in the region of a very high mountain, Mount Hermon. And in a short period of time, Jesus would take his crew up into that mountain and show them who they were really dealing with in the Transfiguration. And not only that, but they got a revelation something else is going on beyond what we see with the natural eye. Because there was Elijah and there was Moses. And they were talking about what was about to go down. And God sometimes hides his strategies. And in the right moment, to the listening ears, to the awakened hearts, he will let us see and let us hear. We don't always understand. We know that Peter, James, and John, even after that, as Jesus began to tell him, this is the way it's going to go down. I mean, here they'd seen him. And the next thing he explains to them is that he's going to be crucified. And they're just like, wait a minute, what we just saw on the mount, how does that fit with this plan? So take encouragement today. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And he draws us into this dynamic event continually. And why we're here is for what really matters. And this is what really matters. The people sitting next to you today are eternal. every human being that you deal with tomorrow, this week, every one of them are eternal beings. And we have been given the gift, like Peter. The Father has revealed who this Jesus is. And I submit to you that you continually are standing in the mountain that the writer of the Hebrews described. And in some way or the other, God will give you the grace to communicate to folks who cannot see that you have seen Jesus and can help them open their eyes. That's what really matters. It's what matters in the priorities of our prayer life, of our vision, of our hopes. And it's very important that we keep ourselves anchored where it really matters, because life is going to go like this all the time. Like Forrest Gump says. And believe me, there are those days when your box of chocolate was forgotten in the trunk and it was 90 degrees, and when you open it up, it looks like a deposit. Hallelujah. You matter because you have eternity in your heart. And it's not just your life insurance policy. It is a divine wisdom, dynamically anointed to advance the kingdom. Important thing Jesus said in that encounter with Peter at that mountain of Hermon. I don't know if you've been there. In Israel, literally where he was standing was a place known as the gates of hell. Had been devoted, this mountain, to the gods of the underworld, the gods of the dead, so on and so forth. And it was very well known to everyone there that that place represented Israel's clash with all of the ideologies and religions of the world. That no, they had a living God and were called as a kingdom of priests, a special treasure in the earth to propagate the knowledge of the true God. So now the disciples had seen him. But Jesus said in that place, on this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell cannot withstand it. The gates of hell cannot withstand it. I challenge you, I challenge myself, because I really know that for many years, we have approached that dynamic and saying, you know, we've got our shields up and the gates of hell are coming at us, but we're going to... No, that isn't what Jesus said at all. He said to them, I want you to know, the church is advancing and the gates of hell will not be able to hold themselves in defense. Believe me, there were powers set against Randy and Raiden that Bill shared with us. And the church came in and said, hold on. Hold on here. And we've commissioned some of our Annas, our praying Annas, to begin to cover and take Raiden and Randy, and we're going to hear of God's hand in that man's life and in the life of his son. Because the powers of hell cannot withstand the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a west wind a-blowing. Praise the Lord. And if Paul could tweet today, he would tell us what he told Timothy. Avoid the vain babblings, the quarrels, the dissensions, the things that bring in division, envy, strife, jealousy, anger, every evil thing. You have a message at a higher level. And people desperately, desperately need to hear it. So, does anybody know what the first book printed in America was? Raise your hand real quick if you know. First book printed in America. You know what it was? It's called the Bay Psalter. Printed in Cambridge, Massachusetts, 1640. The entire book of the Psalms in verse. Done by missionary John Eliot, whose great grandson is a personal friend of ours. He is a worship leader. But his ancestor took the entire book of Psalms and wrote it into verse. And that, my friends, is the very first book printed in America. Isn't that something? So, showing you a picture there of Psalm 1. But this is Psalm 23 in the verse. The Lord, to me, a shepherd is. Want, therefore, shall not I. He in the folds of tender grass does cause me down to lie. To waters calm me gently leads, restores my soul, doth he. He doth in paths of righteousness for his name's sake lead me. Yea, though in valley of death's shade I walk, none ill I'll fear. Because thou art with me, thy rod and staff my comfort are. For me a table thou hast spread in presence of my foes. Thou dost anoint my head with oil, my cup it overflows. Goodness and mercy surely shall all my days follow me. And in the Lord's house I shall dwell so long as days shall be. They were very, very careful not to do like some of our modern translations, but to literally take every word and every essence and bring it gracefully into rhyme. Isn't that beautiful? This guy was also responsible for the first Bible printed in America, but it was not in English. He was a missionary to the Algonquin Indians, Kathy Gomes' tribe, a member of this church. They became known among the other tribes as the Praying Indians. There is a literal census taken in the 1600s of this tribe. And recorded in the census was that 4,000 of them were praying Christians. And so Eliot took the Bible and translated it phonetically into the Algonquin language. These kind of events are those works of the Holy Spirit. And there are many of them in our history. From before its actual birth up to Christopher Columbus. He wrote in his journal, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 46. He says, it's the Holy Spirit who has put in my heart for the advancement of the gospel to sail to the west. He has named me Christopher, light bearer, for this reason. Our history is rich in every age, with proof and evidence that God, who rules over the destiny of nations, has a specific intention concerning the kingdom of God and the gospel for our nation. And so, when we see this tremendous struggle that is happening in the nation, trying to kick God and the gospel, and now, you know, more and more move Christians away, out of the public voice, a public square, I want to tell you this is our hour. I'm looking at dread champions and I'm calling you to rise. Because just as Jesus promised, these gates of hell cannot withstand what is sitting in front of me today. God, imager, inhabited by God himself, by the Spirit. This cosmic, marvelous miracle that occurred in the embodiment of God in mortal flesh and his dying completely. His receiving the resuscitating breath of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. after he had, I don't know. We'll get to hear the details. But the Apostles' Creed and the Bible indicates he went into hell and said, your game is up. Your game is up. How would you like to have been there in those days when your Uncle Silas, who, you know, died 40 years before in some kind of a, you know, quarry accident or something, suddenly came stumbling back to the house and said, whoa, we were waiting for the Messiah. Guess what? Because the Bible says that when Jesus came out of the grave, that many of those saints who were waiting in advance of the promise, literally, he literally broke the chains of death and of hell. And a bunch of them came up with him and said, Lord, can we just stop over and see the family one more time? My God, if Uncle Silas had been in my church, I bet your church was in revival. Come on, Uncle Silas, tell your story again. What do you look like? What happened to him? We possess an advancing kingdom, and you are the hope of the world. God created you as an imager of him, adopted you as his heirs, and filled you with himself that he might speak to this battered world. So, Brother Paul doesn't tweet, can't tweet, but he also told Timothy, first of all, church, say first of all, pray for kings and all that are in authority in order that we might lead peaceful and quiet lives. If there is anything America needs now is for people to be living in peace and quiet. Would you say? Yes. Right? So in the face of this great dissension and, you know, inspiration from the literal powers of hell that are being manifest in the political discourse and on social media just whipped up, the church has a real answer twofold. The first one, pray, because prayer combats the spiritual powers. Number two, engage. Not to quarrel, debate, insist on what we're, but to go higher and share eternal life. The revelation that every human being will live forever. And you've seen Jesus in the mountain. Praise the Lord. So, as I was thinking towards this day and the birthday celebration, I opened a desk drawer that has had some things rearranged in it, and the Donald, as he tends to surprise and appear wherever, whenever, was in the, I said, where did you come from? I know I did not put you there. And I found out he's just as unpredictable.
I will be the greatest president that God ever created.
Let's pray for our president. Lord, we do. We not only pray for President Trump and his family, for Vice President Pence, their families. We pray for the members of the cabinet. We pray for our judiciary, the Supreme Court, and the Congress, both houses, every member. God, we pray for the entire bureaucracy and the whole governing institution recently labeled the swamp. We pray, God of glory, that in this hour, divine wisdom, justice, grace, power, peace, favor, prosperity would come on our nation. From the greatest to the least, from the least to the greatest, Father, this is our prayer. Lord, give us leaders such that it would be to your glory to give us, the church, the victory through them. We thank you. We thank you for the chaos. We thank you for the sharp swords that are being wielded in this war of hearts and words and ideas. But as the church, we stand in our lineage, looking back to see the works of God in forming and ordaining a nation. And we each as heirs stand today saying, we take the baton, we know our foundation, we hold on to the great truths, we take the responsibility of this stewardship given to us by generations of believing fathers and mothers who have gone before us under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and it comes down to us today in divine appointment. We say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Hallelujah. If you haven't had an opportunity to, we did a little book quite a while back, God Shed His Grace on Thee. In it, it's a very concise and short compendium of the actual words, deeds, written histories of the specifically Christian impact, focus, intention, faith of our founders and the evolution of our nation. So if you're needing a fresh connection with your own inheritance as an American in this potentially chaotic time we live in, as a Christian, I encourage you to get this little book, and it will give you a reminder. We've shared some living stories today, and so I'm not going to go into what we have in this book in specific quotes and stuff. But I will read something that Mahesh and I wrote in it. We said, the end, say the end, depends on the beginning. It's a Latin phrase. And when we recognize the beginning, we will understand why there is such a battle right now. A battle that, for heaven's sakes, is trying to tell our children in public schools through the Common Core, there's really no more boy or girl. We're persons that are like a purple unicorn with a rainbow horn and a weird little DNA thing for a genitalia and a couple of... What? Boy, girl, image God. I don't know where purple unicorns came from, but I do know there was a weird talking beast in the garden. Hey! So, the gates of hell will not withstand what you carry. Hallelujah. Patrick Henry, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Pastor Mahesh is ministering in Patrick Henry's territory. He's about 5 miles away from the great church, St. John's, where Mr. Henry gave his famous "Give me liberty or give me death" speech. His uncle, Samuel, was a great revivalist. His church was in the area. And Patrick Henry's mother was deeply influenced and then influenced him. And his radical faith was what led him to engagement in a critical time in the formation of our land. In this beginning, in the introduction, Mahesh and I wrote, as Christians, we exercise faith in God's promise and confirm the plans he put in the hearts of former generations of courageous men and women who were called to bring America to her greatness. Of the enemies we face, there are two that are mortally dangerous. They are the spirit of criticism that leads to strife and disheartenment. We wrote this in 2001. And political correctness that leads to loss of moral clarity. A boy is a boy, a girl is a girl, and neither one of them are purple unicorns. By focusing on America's failures and ills, the accuser, the adversary, Satanos, Satan, the devil, has set about to prevent this nation from rising to the call placed on her by the Almighty. We refuse to agree with the accuser and adversary. We won't deny our heritage. We won't reject our responsibility. We won't exclude our faith. And we will not allow the hijacking of our language to capture and destroy America while we're here. Not on our watch. Not on our watch, friends. Not on our watch. Not on our watch. I feel like we're in a fold in history, and it's those days when the first battalions who actually confronted those men so ill-fitted fashionably in bright red coats with a big white X on their chest. Right. It's like, I can see you. In fact, I can see exactly where to aim. Anyway, but those first Minutemen, actually, they came to church on Sunday morning, and it was the pastors that stood up and spoke about what God was doing in that hour and what his intention was, and called for volunteers. And immediately afterwards, most of the men went right into the churchyard and began to receive basic military training. In a spiritual way, this is what's happening today. And we have our instructions, we have our commander, we have mobilization units in the churches God has called us to, and this is the hour for the dread champions to rise. So, we thank the Lord for the recent affirmation that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. When Christopher Columbus set out saying, "The Holy Spirit is leading me," the very same day from the very same port, the last ships of Jews being exiled by persecution from Spain were being set adrift on the ocean. So here were these two ships going out, not knowing where they were going. You cannot say that God did not intend from the beginning also that America would be uniquely joined to Israel. And for that, I thank this president for renewing and reviving that reality and putting some teeth in it. We praise the Lord for that, because he who blesses Israel will be blessed. So we thank you, Lord. And that's pretty much where we're at for today. It's a new revolution. And you are revolutionaries. Lord, we receive the divine spirit. God, who rules the destiny of nations, we thank you, Lord, for the clear compass direction of former generations, and we call that heritage into empowering now. Lord, we pray today the prayer from George Washington's journal. O eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, my words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb. purge my heart by your Holy Spirit from all dross of my natural inclinations, that I may with more freedom of mind and liberty of will serve you. Everlasting God, in righteousness and holiness today and all the days of my life, increase my faith in the sweet promise of the gospel. Give me ongoing repentance from dead works. Pardon my wanderings and direct my thoughts to you, God of my salvation. Teach me how to live in the fear of the Lord and labor in your service and ever run in the way of your command. Make me watchful always over my heart, that neither terrors of conscience, the loathing of holy service, the love of sin, or an unwillingness to face death may cast me into spiritual slumber. Daily frame me more and more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, that living in your fear, in your glory, and dying in your favor, I may in the appointed time attain the resurrection of the just unto eternal life. Bless my family. Bless my friends and kindred companions. Unite us all in praise and glory to you in all our works from beginning to end and everything in between. When we shall come to make our last account before you, blessed Savior, we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be.
Let's stand together. Afresh, our nation, its destiny, and its heritage.
Your kingdom come.
Hear our prayer, Lord. Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in.
Our Lord Provider,
give us this day,
just today, Lord,
day,
we look to you for provision today, and we trust you for tomorrow,
and forgive us,
oh Lord,
our debts,
and we forgive all those
as we forgive our debts,
who in any way have offended or wronged us.
And lead us not,
lead us, Lord,
into temptation.
Faithful shepherd, lead us.
But deliver us.
And we decree
from
the gates of hell shall not withstand the one we've seen.
For and we thine,
hallelujah,
is the King. And the power and the
honor,
glory
and honor forever. You have eternity in your hearts.
God bless America. Thank
that God I created
love. Stand beside her
and guide her
through the night with a light from above.
Lord, from every high place,
from the mountains
to the very shadow of death,
to the oceans, Lord, wide with foam.
Raise your mighty army,
God,
and God
bless America. My home.
This is our home.
Sweet home.
Make your home here.
From the mountain, to the prairies, to the ocean, wide with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home.
Note, I would like us to do something that in this day and age is quite politically incorrect, and there are many strains of Christianity that even deny this is a spiritual thing to do. But on the basis of who we are, what we've heard today, what we understand, I'm going to ask James McMillan, if he's still in the house, he may be out working already. He's already working. All right. So we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. All right? Understand. We are saying we see God's history, and we are not going to be AWOL for our nation. It's for the glory, for Jesus finishing what he began. And remember, the end depends on the beginning, not all the junk in between. So, Pledge of Allegiance. You ready? Here's the flag. Michael, you want to lead us?
Yes. Let's say it together. Ready?
Hand on hearts.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. 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 Yes. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.